is Taz.
The mood is about to change.
The Human Podcast Machine.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is he, Taz, and I want to thank you for downloading this episode. My rapid reaction to Monday Night Raw, the WrestleMania go-home. Thanks for downloading, as I said, and subscribing to the Human Podcast Machine. I do appreciate it. So I want to get into some of my thoughts and opinions about this show. Out there in the West Coast in Cali, big go-home for WrestleMania, and I felt like they had a big fight feel. I felt like a big show. I was texting back and forth during the show with a couple of friends of mine from inside the industry, a couple of wrestlers, one guy's a ref, and a couple of guys at WWE, a couple of guys that aren't in WWE anymore, and some was like mixed feelings. Some thought it felt like a big go home to Mania. Some didn't. I felt like it was. It felt big to me. I thought the show seemed large. I mean, especially kicking off with I never remember this ever. It's never happened. I should say Sting kicking off Monday Night Raw was great. I mean, it was kind of a surreal, weird moment, and Stephanie coming out, and then Triple H. Those guys not touching each other, saving it for Sunday, I thought was obviously very smart and very effective, and it works. You want to make people, wait for that or pay for it or whatever you want to call it. So I felt like that was big, seeing Sting, some history being made, him coming out and opening up a Monday Night Raw. I guess I was wrong. A couple of weeks back on one of my podcasts, I said, well, maybe, when they did that package on Sting, maybe we're never going to hear Sting talk. Maybe Vince McMahon feels like Sting's voice should sound like the voiceover guy. Well, I was wrong. So I take my lumps. I admit that I was wrong. So I that's why I said maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I didn't know. I was just my speculation, which my speculation was incorrect. So I thought that was pretty cool, kicking off with Sting. I really did. I also during the show, I mean, I have DirecTV, okay? So I don't know about anybody else out there, but there were several, and I saw this for the past couple of weeks, Lucha Underground promos during breaks, which I thought is very smart, not cheap to do, but very smart to do, because you're just completely going right after a massive audience, a wrestling fan, so watching Raw. So good job by Lucha Underground with that, got to say. Also, I want to talk a little bit about a couple different matches, not the whole show, but the 10-man tag match that promoted the Andre the Giant Battle Royal that they're doing at WrestleMania. And they had the guy from ESPN, Bill Simmons, doing guest commentary. And I kind of tweeted that, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, we got, 25-something announcers out there, and we got 10 young wrestlers in the ring, and nobody's getting over these wrestlers. I mean, I understand the guy Bill Simmons is there. I got it. That's cool. That's great. But he's not exactly a household name, number one. Number two, let's sell the match more. Let's get the guys over. That's how I feel. I mean, yeah, that's your job. Your job is to get the talent over. I mean, that especially young guys like that, when there's 10 of them in a tag match, and they're going into this big-ass battle royal this Sunday, the Andre the Giant battle royal, I mean, you got to get guys over. Instead of cracking jokes with Bill Simmons and having inside little tips, little jokes. But, again, that's me, armchair quarterback, and just my opinion. And I'm a commentator. And I know at times you want to break the momentum, monotony, I should say, of calling wrestling matches if you have someone outside the business at the desk. I've been there. I know what it's like. It felt like Michael Cole was trying to rein him in to get him being Bill Simmons to get his opinion about Andre the Giant Battle Royal, about this and that. And the guy was talking about his kid, which is cool, and that he's a fan. I mean, we did get that he was a fan. We also got that he didn't get the dress code memo, but that's a whole nother story. But I thought it was good that JBL called him out on that because he was dressed like a stumble bum. So, he was a guest there, and I guess he could dress any way he wants, and that's fine. But he definitely didn't come off like a big star. He looked like some guy that just jumped over the guardrail, and they let do commentary because he won like a raffle somewhere at a 7-Eleven. But I digress. So, anyway, I didn't feel like anybody got over in that match. I just felt like I'm just being honest. I just, it was a lot of ha-ha. I don't know how much they really promoted WrestleMania. It's the go-home for Mania. I was always taught, no matter if it's a big pay-per-view, no matter if it's Mania or Bound for Glory or the Royal Rumble or whatever, I don't care what TNA, WWE, Ring of Honor, whatever, the announcers got to, in the go-home, get over the big show. Get people to pay for the pay-per-view or buy the WWE Network, whatever. And they did. They sold the network a lot. I'm not knocking the guys for that. But I think you got to really hook the people into these younger wrestlers that were in this 10-man tag match. And that's another reason why, like, that I enjoyed this particular show, because there was a lot of wrestling on the show. There was a lot of wrestlers, a lot of WWE superstars on the show, male and female. And that's why it felt big to me, and they did the right thing. They do that every year, where they boatload, they front-load, back-load, middle-load the card to get a lot of talent on the card before Mania. It's a lot of exposure for the talent. It's a good payday for them. I just think it's good business all the way around. A good job by WWE with that. I really felt like that was done well. I thought they did a good setup with Rollins and Orton for WrestleMania, where it was three against one with Rollins and Noble and Mercury against Orton. I thought that was good. Really good setup. I mean, looking forward to see this match. It should be great between these two guys, Orton and Rollins. Two tremendous athletes, tremendous workers. It's going to probably be a show stealer, and you got to keep your eye on that match. Trust me. Trust me on that. You know, I thought Nikki Bella and Paige, for the Diva Championship, I mean, it was a good amount of time in that match. I thought it was a really good match. I mean, and at the heat at the end with AJ and Paige, I thought was done really well. The heel team, the sisters, the twins, they go in smirking, like, hey, we're in a catbird seat here. These two guys have no cohesiveness. They hate each other, these two chicks, meaning Paige and AJ. And it's a good little story to tell. It's simple, but good. Sometimes simple is good. You know, and I just thought that was a good flow and a good pacing into the show by putting the Divas in that spot. You know, my man Snoop Dogg came out, and then Axelmania came out, and this was just a fun segment. And then none other than the Hulkster himself came out, the man of Mania, Hulkamania, came out. And I just thought it was a great rub from a mainstream perspective for Axel, for Curtis Axel, with Snoop Dogg, nevertheless Hulk Hogan. So I just thought it was great for Curtis Axel here. This was a really, really good spot for this kid. I mean, I was very happy for him. Don't know the guy, but thought it was done really, really well and really good for Curtis Axel. Just good stuff to be in there with two icons in their own respective worlds, you know. So that's kind of a cool deal, you know. Hogan surprised me a little bit with his line that he said to, Snoop Dogg about Axel, what's brother smoking? I was a little surprised to hear that. I was, it was funny. It was very good. I mean, I know Hulk, but I'm just saying on WWE TV, that was pretty funny. Rusev and Swagger, physical match, two rugged dudes. Obviously, there's a history with these guys. No Lana, you know, they got that thing going with Lana. I mean, you know, people wanted Lana, they were chanting for Lana. I want Lana. I wanted Lana too. Got it, get it, feel ya. One little thing that I noticed in this, I noticed the past 1 or 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks with WWE, every once in a while, in a corner, they have, I think they must have a GoPro or something like a GoPro camera in a corner. And at one time during this match with Swagger and Rusev, you could see the GoPro shot for a few seconds. Thought it was very cool. I wonder if they're trying some different stuff out with that. Kind of like TNA does with GoPros and Lucha Underground. I wonder if that's what they're doing. Seems like they might be teasing something there. I don't know. I mean, it's a very subtle thing. I might be overthinking it. It's not one of their handheld cameras. That I can tell you. It definitely seems like a GoPro thing. It's something that most people aren't going to notice. If you watch this match, there's a spot in the corner where the camera's shooting from the corner. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Then during this match, you know, Cena does the run at the end of the match, I should say. Rusev wins the match. He puts Swagger in the gimmick in the submission. And I'll always call it a camel clutch, even though it's a little different, but well, similar. And then here comes John Cena to make the save, you know, because the build up Cena Rusev for Mania, you know, and excuse me, they get into the scuffle and all this stuff. They get into a little scrap. Ends up with Rusev, you know, bumping him all around the announce desk, on top of the desk. He puts him in the gimmick, the submission, on top of the announce desk. Okay, great heat for Rusev going into the pay-per-view with Cena. Great way to try and get Cena to get people to love him with the hated anti-American guy. I mean, this has been done a billion times in the business, and it usually works. And, you know, I don't think it's going to hurt Cena's stock. But I got to tell you, I really felt like, and I'm not saying the WWE did this on purpose. I really don't know, but they really put JBL and Booker T, you know, two former World Heavyweight Champions, two big physical guys that are still in pretty good shape, put them in bad spots here. I mean, you know, they really did. I just got to be honest. I mean, I've been in that spot where, you know, you can't do anything and you're kind of like, it's right on the announce desk and you can't pull a heel, pry the heel off the babyface where he's going too far with this. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, man, it sucks. It sucks for those guys, for the two announcers, the two, you know, former wrestlers, former champions. It does. It puts them in a bad spot. But the thing is, to be frank, you know, in the WWE, 9 out of 10 times, maybe 9.5 out of 10 times, to be honest with you, the announcers are just props. I mean, that's what you really are out there. So, you know, it's kind of a wrestling mindset. If we have JBL and Booker T pull this guy off of Cena, now he should bump JBL and or Booker, and we can't do that. Or he should get his revenge with them. You know, who knows how they're thinking. But I just think that maybe they could have done this spot, again, armchair quarterback and Monday morning quarterbacking. Well, actually, Monday evening quarterbacking. I think they could have done the same thing maybe somewhere in the crowd or somewhere on a rampway or on an equipment box near the pyrotechnics or something. I just think protect those two former world champions, two big physical guys in JBL and Booker T. I just think they could have did a better job of that. Bray Wyatt comes out, just cuts an insanely awesome promo towards The Undertaker, that he owns all of this stuff now, all of these spiritual crazy schnabitzes and all this stuff, and all the stuff's happening with the lighting, building up Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt come WrestleMania. I do not like Bray Wyatt's chances against The Undertaker. I think Undertaker's going to beat him. But I got to say, Bray Wyatt's promo, just this guy always cuts great promos, as everybody knows. This particular promo, this was a go-home WrestleMania promo. And, folks, there is a difference. And this kid cut one. This was excellently done. Great stuff. Congrats to Bray Wyatt on that promo. It was a grand slam. And they gave him a lot of time. And, again, there wasn't a lot of talking in this show. Even the opening segment with Sting and Stephanie, they talked for very little. It was not a lot of talking, and they got into the grappling real quick, the wrestling matches real quick, I should say, throughout the show. But again, that Bray Wyatt promo, I really thought was awesome. Ziggler and Daniel Bryan, long match, great match, physical match, excellent stuff, totally. Referee was Dean Ambrose. Good and bad in this, in my opinion. I felt like, you got Dean Ambrose, you're beating Daniel Bryan clean. You got to utilize Dean Ambrose in that finish. I just think you got to figure out a way to utilize Dean Ambrose to inadvertently or somehow affect Daniel Bryan from losing. I really think so. I mean, I respect the WWE and tip my cap that they had the guy get beat clean by Ziggler. Ziggler's legit. I'm a giant fan of Ziggler. But I you know, maybe you want to protect Bryan a little bit. You do have a ref in there in Dean Ambrose, who's unhinged and crazy and unpredictable. I don't know why they didn't utilize him. I'm sure they have their reasons. I'm assuming in an agent meeting this came up. I'm sure there's a reason why they didn't do it. I'm sure it's a good reason. I'm just telling you, from a fan's perspective, sitting in my house watching it, I was a little surprised. Well, let's protect the babyface and have this ref help, who's a crazy worker, meaning a crazy man in Dean Ambrose. Great match, though, as I said. Great physicality. And I felt like at the end, with all the guys getting involved with the ladder and Intercontinental title and all this stuff, I really felt like they made the Intercontinental Championship very important. They made it feel big. They made me want to see who's going to leave WrestleMania with it. And they've been building it up pretty good past couple weeks, this Intercontinental title. But I got to tell you, man, this was really good. Look, the physicality with the ladder and all stuff, some of the stuff the guys did was kind of like, you know, it was okay. It wasn't amazing. But the concept and the story of making that title hang up in the air, that IC title, and how important it's going to feel for whoever walks out of it, I just think they made that Intercontinental title cool again. I think they did a good job of that, honestly. And then they had Heyman come out with Lesnar and just cut a classic Heyman go-home promo. It was great. I mean, week after week after week after week, we see Heyman with these promos. He's not only making Lesnar, he's not only making himself even more than he's made, he's making Roman Reigns. I mean, Roman Reigns needs to buy Paul Heyman like a big steak dinner on a nightly basis. You know what I'm saying? He really is. He's making, and I think Reigns knows that. I mean, these promos have been unbelievable. And good thing WrestleMania is here, because I think they got to be careful of having Heyman cut these promos every single week. Everybody wants to see them, and that's great, but then, you know, let people wait. I remember when I was a kid, I was a huge Bruno Sammartino fan, and I would sit there and watch TV with my dad, you know, midnight on WOR in New York City, Channel 9, and you'd see Bruno Sammartino cut a promo almost every week with Vince McMahon holding the microphone in an empty arena. And you older fans know what I'm talking about. But you never saw Bruno wrestle on TV. And it used to make me crazy. And we hardly went to the Garden to watch him wrestle because we just didn't have money. I'm like, Dad, I want to see Bruno wrestle. Well, he'll wrestle on TV this week. Well, he didn't work. All right, Dad, I want to see Bruno this week. He'll be on TV. You know, he never worked. My dad was working me. But so, you know, because it's the old school thing. Let people wait for it. Let it be special when you see Bruno. And you want to go pay the money to go see him at the live event. I think you got to start doing a little bit of that with Heyman, where you don't have these promos. I mean, after Mania, I think cool off a little bit with the weekly promos. I know people love them, but, you know, it'll mean even more. And I think Paul will be the first one to tell you that. I don't want to cut these promos every week, you know. But it's important the past few weeks going into a massive show like this pay-per-view on Sunday. So I get why they're doing it. Now, real quick, and I'm wrapping this thing up, I want to just talk about the end, okay? Look, when Reigns came out, Lesnar was in the ring. Heyman kind of got out of the picture. Reigns gets in the ring. These two big dudes are squaring off, looking at each other. Lesnar holds the title up, smirking, puts the title basically in the face of Reigns. Place pops or whatever. And then Reigns snatches the title out of the hands of Brock Lesnar. And people were like, everybody gasped. And I did. I was like, oh, wow. I was shocked he did that. It was just a really cool moment. I mean, when he pulled that title. And they went from a really cool moment to these two guys tug of war for the belt and went off the air, which was a bad moment, in my opinion. I think it looked hokey. These two big dudes trying to grapple and wrestle and tussle for the title. I mean, have Heyman come in and back Lesnar out of there with the title and say, not now, champ. We'll get him Sunday. You know, something. You can't have the babyface walk out. You can't have a killer heel like Lesnar walk out. Have Paul back him out. Something, man. I just don't think tug of war. I just think it seemed a little corny. Again, just my opinion. Is it going to hurt the main event? No. Is it going to hurt these guys' match? No. Is it going to hurt how many people watch it on the WWE Network or buy the network? No, of course not. I'm just saying my opinion. I think they went for an amazing creative concept of have Reigns snatch that title belt out of the hands of Brock. To, wow, everybody was shocked, to, okay, now Brock grabs it back, and they're tussling for the title, and we're going off black, and we're going off to Mania that way. I just thought that was a little flat, a little weird, my opinion. Maybe some of you liked it. I don't know. Just my opinion. And that's really that on that. Going to take a quick break. Come back from the break. I got one more thing I want to tell you guys, and then, I'll be out. So sit tight. Coming right back. Got a little announcement I want to make. Chill. Coming right back.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, I got a deal for you. Spring training is underway, and that can only mean one thing. Baseball season is almost here, and there's never been a better time to check out DraftKings.com, America's favorite daily fantasy baseball site where you could win huge cash prizes every day. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, no slogging through a long season to collect your winnings, just instant cash, instant gratification. It's like a new season every time you play. Simply pick two pitchers and eight position players, stay under the salary cap, and you could be on your way to a massive payday. In fact, DraftKings has already crowned over a dozen millionaires. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn, so check this out. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code TAZ, T-A-Z, to play for free in the $100,000 fantasy baseball contest on opening day. First place takes home $10,000. Use promo code TAZ, Taz, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right. Welcome back. Real quick, before I wrap this up again, this is just a rapid react to Raw, but I already did that. Well, you hope you guys liked it. I want to just drop something on you. You guys, maybe you follow me on Twitter, saw that I was talking about Taz Live is coming real soon. Taz Live is real quick. Taz Live, Body Slams and Beyond. Basically, I'm going to be talking about the wrestling business. It's going to be a Monday through Friday, 2-hour live radio show. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time, the day after WrestleMania, the 30th, March 30th, for 5 days, exclusively on radio.com. Okay, so it's streaming on radio.com. That's where you'll find it, starting on March 30th at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. I'm just going to bang this out for 5 days in a row. That first day, March 30th, I'm going to have live phone lines. Basically, phone lines will be open the whole week, so you're going to call in. It's a straight radio show. Basically, on that 30th, it's going to be more like a WrestleMania reaction show where I'll react to it, have some guests on here and there. You guys will call in, shoot the bull for a couple hours. Again, Taz Live, Body Slams and Beyond, Monday through Friday, two-hour show, starting on the 30th of March, the day after Mania, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on radio.com. That's the only place you're going to find it. So stay tuned on that. I'll be tweeting about it. Tell your friends and family and everybody else. And that's a wrap, guys. So look, I appreciate it. And also, this week I will be sitting down with good old JR, WWE Hall of Famer. We will do a WrestleMania preview show. So that's going to be a lot of fun. That'll be sitting on HSM, on a human podcast machine, right here on my podcast on Play It. So we got a lot going on, man. We got a lot going on. Things are busy. So stay tuned this week for that with JR and myself. And also, like I said, Taz Live coming at you on the 30th of March, Monday through Friday, two-hour show, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on radio.com. All right, guys, look, I appreciate your time. My name is Taz. Yours is not. See ya.